have the agenda, draft agenda, as it was for Friday. Really, the main item and the only item is the presentation of the rules by the subcommittee on rules, the review of rules. Yeah, sometimes we see a woman and a girl. Apologies. Mama, what did you do?
Thank you very much, Chair. House President Froelich has just gone doubtless to meet with the Finance Committee and Asian Matter Party coming back.
Okay. Okay. Any other apologies?
Ma'am, we've received the following apologies. Mr. Karim, Mr. Mashile, Ms. Killian, Ms. Morapo, and Ms. Moko.
Apologies.
Honorable Rosie? The Honorable Sidon is in the Finance Committee.
Okay. Honorable
Boy? Honorable Mrs. Smith is still in the scope of the budget coming.
All right, do have the apology. Babu,
go ahead. Good morning, Honourable Speaker, Madam Speaker. We are proposing that you try to present the draft rules, agreed some of them in the subcommittee. And some areas will be options that you are prepared to present. Wherever there are options, will affect the rules committee to take the final decision and then to ensure that we work it out. We also accept that the language may be improved from time to time by those who are dealing with language on a daily basis. We know that our colleagues here who are working, they would always try to ensure that the language is according to rectify their mistake in terms of the language. The approach that we are proposing, Honorable Speaker, is just to touch 2 minutes around the background and go chapter by chapter, but only on areas where there are no contacts in the subcommittee. Where we have agreed as the subcommittee, we'll try our best not to repeat it. We are going to just identify options, and then the rules committee then can look at options. If they met logic, the rules committee may take it, which option is appropriate for the National Assembly. We are not going to deal with rule by rule. We are going to deal with chapter by chapter. By just indicating critical areas, not really reading each and every clause, because it may take us another 5 years to do so. And also it is our understanding, Honorable Speaker, that the process started of the comprehensive review of the rules in 2012, but in earnest it started in 2018, second half of 2018. And then the process almost taken almost 3 years. It is our view that honorable members of parliament, individual and collective in terms of parties, have had sufficient time to look at the proposal that we've been putting forward. Started in 2018, June. I know that parties organized their workshop on the 26th and 27th of November 2018 to look at broad principles that we came up with as a subcommittee. And since then we're dealing with rule by rule, trying to refine it, capture the spirit of the Constitution of South Africa, trying also to address the issue that Parliament, the National Assembly, is a multi-party body that we have to coexist with the retaining other parties. Therefore, that we have to ensure that whatever we draft should at least outlast us. The rules should be reviewed, if possible, in the next 20 years that we should not draft the rule to accommodate the current situation, but draft the rules that will address the next 20 years of the National Assembly. Sometimes when I was speaker, I use Parliament when I mean National Assembly. Sometimes I use this term interchangeably. I know that is wrong, but sometimes I'm not sure why we are getting used to call ourselves Parliament. But the point that we are raising, when I was speaker, that in 2012, we completed the first draft presented to all members. So 2013, we completed the first draft, anything document given to members of Parliament. What we have tried to do is to give parties, but also give each and every individual member of Parliament electronically for members of Parliament to have time to look at the proposal and go to their parties and request their parties their view at the collective side. All members for the last 2.5 years, they were allowed this time to ensure that if they want to appear before a trustee, they were allowed to come in, make their proposal as members of Parliament, but also as members of the parties through their party representative. We have this discussion, and then we have tried to deal with Chapter 1 to 9, because those chapters that were not reviewed since the 1994 Democratic Rule. As a result of that, we tried to deal with each and every rule. What was guiding us, firstly, was that there's a constitution of the Republic of South Africa. What was guiding us also, that is a multi-party institution. And then that generally we have to coexist with many parties because it's a multi-party body. We also guided by the understanding that those who are not in the government must sometimes put their shoes to the governing party and vice versa. That ensure that we don't have the rules that are only addressing the current problems rather than even anticipating what would happen in the next 20 years. And then colleagues will participate in fully, the parties, the governing party, the official opposition, the second biggest parties in terms of the AFF. In fact, I must refer to the AFF, of course, they made a lot of submission, written submission. Though we didn't agree on some of the issues with them, but they participated fully. They also on behalf of the small parties participated fully. We had really a fair representation of all parties in Parliament for the discussion and proposal of the rule. Our understanding, therefore, Honorable Speaker, that today we are not going to be dealing with rule by rule. We are going to highlight only when the subcommittee didn't agree. Where, of course, there are areas that members think that the language is lacking, they will come in and assist us. But we are not intending to start again another subcommittee discussion. Because for the last 2.5 years, all parties were allowed enough space to participate. It was a democratic process for parties and also members of Parliament themselves as members of Parliament. Some members of Parliament made a lot of contributions in writing down some of their proposals, present them to the subcommittee. We have looked at all of them. And we have drafted then the rules that we think, of course, when I was speaking, as we check the board, we are also guided by our understanding that all rules of Parliament must have intended purpose, that they must not be ambiguous, should be very clear, succinct, that also they must also be relevant. They must be able to assist us to perform our duty as members of Parliament. That rules are not really designed, broadly speaking, to manage political engagement, but they are there to regulate the function of members as they engage in their political discussion. That we don't behave in a manner that is very bad in Parliament. The rules really are there to assist the presiding officers and members of Parliament to execute their task. But political management, generally speaking, is a duty of those who are leading us politically in the National Assembly. Parliament, broadly speaking, but in the National Assembly in this case. We have, Honorable Speaker, then taken a view that today we will try our level best not to repeat any discussion that we had in the subcommittee. We are going to present Chapter 1. We just indicate there, Honorable Speaker, that this with the definitions. And then we try to define all all areas that we think they need more definition. Generally speaking, there was agreement amongst parties that really, in terms of the language, we tried our level best. But as I'm suggesting, that would be colleagues here who are wordsmiths who can try to ensure that they improve the language. But the essence of what's done to them was to ensure that all the definitions covered and then on two, we dealt with the sources of authority. It is respected in the Constitution, the first one, and all other sources of authority. And we dealt with the issue. That anyway, we have not taken a final decision on rules, suspension of special majority. It's an issue that we have raised in the subcommittee, that the rules of parliament are very important. They will need a special majority if need be, because we are advised by the legal team that the constitution of our country says it states exactly which areas that will need special majority. The rules are not one of them. As a result of that, we have taken a view that we want to propose that the rule suspension will need 1/3 of members of parliament, 1/3 of 400 members of the National Assembly. And then that's the issue that we are putting forward. Because without initial, that for us to suspend the rule of parliament, we should need at least a special majority. But other being advised by those who are living the constitution, that it may not necessarily be constitutional to do so, we retain them the issue of 1/3 of members of parliament, of National Assembly. 1/3, I think, is 135. And then those who are good in mathematics, I think, 134. Yeah, that's 1/3 members of parliament. That's an issue, Honorable Speaker, that we have raised. That is on chapter one. The sources, yeah, there was no discussion, general. All of us were accepted. The constitution, powers and privileges, and then accepted the rules of the National Assembly, the joint rules of parliament, if of course and when applicable, orders of the day. General on that issue, there was no further discussion. On the issue that was raised by our colleagues was the issue of convention practices. The point was raised in the meeting that maybe we should consider having convention from time to time being reviewed by the National Assembly at least once in 5 years. Simply means that any hanging National Assembly after election may sit down and look at the convention, look at the question of practices, and do that. And the majority of members in the committee agree that now may not work because we have to learn from other parliament all over the world. Therefore, we should have every 5 years to review. But I don't think that is a big issue. Always raise those issues, but we agreed on that. The suspension of the rule on a take, we agreed in terms of one. And also, of course, the rulings issue. That the issue that we raised is that the ruling of the speaker, of course, are very important. But we also make a proposal there that directives and guidelines, not order, but directives and guidelines should be the responsibility of the Rules Committee. Our view is that the Rules Committee can be able to sit down and look at directives and guidelines. That we may not necessarily need the entire House to look unless we are changing the rules, we are amending the rules, unless you are suspending the rule, or unless there are difficult questions that you want to address. But generally, we thought that guidelines, the directives and guidelines should be the preview or the purview of the Rules Committee. And of course, there are issues that were raised. If the Rules Committee can still change guidelines the way it wants, we thought that guidelines are very important, but also we do have full confidence that the Rules Committee is a very senior committee in Parliament. They will do everything according to the rules. It's an issue that we have raised, and the honourable members, I think they agree with us on that. On chapter 2, if I may proceed, really, there are no issues there, truly speaking. Opening of Parliament and State of the Nation address is separated, that and all parties agreed that it is necessary for us to do so. Of course, in terms of the election of the president, the position is very clear. The position is very clear. They're taking oath of members of parliament. Also, was not an issue there. On chapter 3, on the question of presiding officers, again, the procedural chapter, there were no serious issues there except to improve the language. How do we live in the speaker, an acting speaker, all those matters were provided there. But just to draw the attention of honorable members to page 12, 17A, that is the general authority of the responsibility of the speaker. And we have a discussion on this matter, and we thought that we should write them down and ensure that they cover the excess of what the presiding officer, because the speaker and the minister in terms of the SOP are the most senior head of this institution. Therefore, whatever we do, they must have general authority and responsibility of the speaker. I want to draw your attention to that area. I also try to draw the attention of the meeting, still on page 12, removal from office of the speaker and the deputy speaker. It's an issue there that is put forward. We know that the colleagues there, they raise the issue that those who are elected by the ballot to be removed by the deputy ballot. But we have taken a decision. The subcommittee has a lot of discussion on this matter, but we agreed. Of the EFF has taken another view on that. That generally speaking, we must wait until some of the issues that are in court are resolved. We should not take any decision. It means that the whole issue of the secret ballot is not proposed by the subcommittee. But also we are presenting views of colleagues who say that we need a secret ballot, that those who are elected through secret ballot must be removed by the secret ballot. In the issue that Honorable Speaker, we are not proposing the secret ballot as a CTI, it was a view expressed very strongly, but the team has better that some of those issues really they still have to be expedited in court and be resolved at the court level. Therefore, we are not proposing the secret ballot as a committee. The issue there that we are raising is our attention on the oath and affirmation and the is an issue there that was not really an issue there. And then even 98 in terms of page 80, declaration of private interest against this problem, there was no issue there that caused any problem for the fact that we accepted that. And then on page 14, I wish to draw your attention to Rule 21A, appointment and responsibility of which is an issue that we are proposing there. And I know that we, on paragraph, I think on page 50, that is A on the top.
It is a different.
A different?
Yes, but some of us need to be informed. So speak to number, yeah.
Okay, no, that's fine. That is number. That number, that members attendance, that is number 21, CD, the proposed one. That is what we are saying there, the policy of attendance of members of parliament. We had a lot of discussion whether they have a responsibility on the issue of the attendance of parliament, members attending the work in parliament. We have raised there, Honorable Speaker, the attention of particular those who are with the duty that they have to do at the end of the year. Just to register really the number of members who attended the apologies to ensure that on anyway I'm told that even personally they need some of this detailed information to determine how members have been attending on that. We on that one Honorable Speaker there were no issue really that causes problems. We all agree that there's a policy in Parliament. And then 21C, the absence from sitting of the House. And then members, of course, are just drawing the attention of our members on the one, that is sub one of 21C, that they may not exceed 15 consecutive sitting days in an annual session, and that no member of parliament should simply disappear for 15 days a year, or calendar year in terms of parliamentary work. And then any member they find himself more than that, and therefore that issue would have to be followed. In any way that we're trying to clarify what happened when members are able to attend and do the work as assigned to them by their parties. And 21C, absence from meetings or committees. Again, members, I think we draw attention on sub four of what we are putting there. The members must look at it, whether it works or not. And 21 CF, particularly the issue of the fine, and then that is sub one. A member was absent from the three or more conservative meetings of the committee of exception rule 51 without his or her part approval may fine R1,000 per issue of his or her absence. And then simply that member should not disappear from the chamber. And then there are no other issues, Honorable Speaker, really, that parties differ in that chapter 3. On chapter 4, the issue there that to draw the attention is 24A, arrangement of business on the order paper. We are going to deal with it on the speaker, also deal with the program in committee. But there we are covering the issue how the order paper should be ordered, should be prepared, and what would happen there. And then I think we just bring the attention of members there. Of course, there's an option there, Honorable Speaker. That's why we have to have a discussion and see whether the Rules Committee is comfortable with the way we are proposing in terms of 24A, arrangement of business on the order paper. And Honorable Speaker, on Rule 29, is really the issue of the sequence of proceedings. There's a new rule there that we are proposing in terms of sequence. The point that is made there, that is sub one, is just ready to cover the area there. Opportunity for silence, prayer, meditation, announcement by the chair, all those matters there. That the main purpose of the sitting, or the main item for the sitting, must be top on the agenda. If a meeting, if the sitting is convened to deal with Bill A, that Bill A must be top on the agenda. Simply means that don't start with motion, you got notices, motion, put them at the end. Start with the main purpose of the city. That is the point that is raised there. Of course, there are many ways that we try to answer that one. And that key of it is mini plenaries. Discussion on this matter. The subcommittee, party caucuses, those that reported back, they accepted the idea of mini plenaries. There were some views that expressed around the issue of speaking list or not speaking list, but the general point, the general trend that was taken, is that the mini plenaries should debate issues, should not take decisions. We should allow, because Parliament is a platform for debate, it's a total body, and members must engage in these mini plenaries, like they engage really in the committee or the portfolio committee. They shouldn't speak in this. Presiding officers should appoint all members who raise their hand, get involved in the discussion. Time will be properly allocated. If the plenary, if the mini plenary is a mini plenary is for 2 hours, then it will be 2 hours. And the proposal that whoever is appointed by the speaker, if the three persons are not around, that should happen. And then the person will preside like any other community. The view that was expressed that maybe we need some speaking list. We only agree that we only need speaking list when we are dealing with budgets. Not just debate that we had yesterday that was presented by Honorable Kwanga. Those debates really must allow members of us to debate without speaking this. But when is the budget falls, then we can arrange speaking this because in the time also need to know the views of the people. Generally, we accepted this as it is, the Honorable Speaker. And there are some options that we are putting there in terms of speaking this. But generally, Honorable Speaker, all the caucuses that came back to report, they accepted that speakers leads are not necessary in the just debate in the mini plenary. That also means you don't need a quorum. It's not a decision making structure. Members would engage, and then of course they will prepare themselves very well when they go to this mini plenary. And then it was accepted by the speaker. There was no bigger issue there on chapter 4. And then on chapter 5. That's dealing with order in public meetings and rules of debate. we are there with the freedom of speech, because Temba is always in the chamber, is this issue of freedom of speech. We have dealt with the question of freedom of speech, I think, honorable members were able to do it yesterday. We have also then dealt with the question of conduct of members of the National Assembly. And then it's much more detailed, and I hope, and then just to draw the attention of the honorable members of what they are proposing, the host committee has to take a view and a decision on it. And then on F, that is the issue really that has been raised several times. We are making some proposals there that the honorable members of parliament, of course, should dress in a manner befitting the dignity and decorum of the house as provided for in the guidelines approved by the host committee, provided that an office symbol may be displayed. There's an option that we are putting forward for the consideration by the members, that the members of parliament should dress, that is Rule 45, or the honorable members should dress appropriately in a business attire or additional attire, and generally in a manner befitting the dignity and decorum of the house, and reflecting their respect for the constitution and electorate, and in accordance with any guidelines that may be approved by the Rules Committee. We thought that we should not go for details how members dress. The Rules Committee staff must sit down and say, you shall dress this way. And then because the Rules Committee is very easy, sometimes can meet and change it, but don't put it on the rules, details of it. It should cover the broad aspect of how members should conduct themselves in the National Assembly. Of course, the honorable member from the EFF has a different view on this matter, but members of the subcommittee said we are proposing this for the consideration by the meeting. Option one and option two, that honorable members should be that at Rule 44, 45 in terms of the conduct of the members. And there were no other legal issues there. Of course, honorable members will look at the Rule 58, that is dealing with grossly disorderly conduct. It's reworked completely to make it simple, to make it easy, to be unambiguous, to be simple in terms of the language. Because one of the issues that was raised is that the rules of the National Assembly should be drafted or should be written in simple language. Therefore, there will always be members who are very good in language, they may be improving on that. And then members with the issue also that we have raised there is 51. One of the members also look at the name 51. That is member orders to leave the chamber. Of member order to leave the chamber is there, and then there's one, there's two, that's up one and two. And then the proposed new Rule 52. New Rule 52, we also draw the attention of the members to look at the rule, because it added Rule 51, 52, 53, and 54. You can't divorce them, because those are procedural issues that you have to follow whenever a member has to leave the same. We have one of our speakers then dealt with the rule. Rule 53A, in our colleagues in the EFF, they are opposed to it. They indicated that the matter is in court. But we have made the proposal, honorable speaker, that the interim rule as appeared now should be adopted, but there will be two that will be expressed in terms of sub 12 on Rule 53A. Sub 12 is dealing with the multi-party committee after a member has been taken out of the chamber. There are issues also drawing attention to our members on Rule 54, period and consequences of suspension. Members also can look at that one. There are some options that we are looking for, option three, and then taking the members to look at them and see what else we can do. But there's a note also that is written in there. And Rule 55, there were no issues there. And they were moving to the area of honorable members. A lot of discussion about this, honorable members, whether we can call them a member, honorable member, honorable deputy speaker, or madam speaker, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Deputy Speaker. generally speaking, the argument was that there's no harm to retain honorable members. But if members refer to all Mr. Waters, and then the honorable Waters is fine, and then Madam Didiza is fine, generally. But that there should be some respect in calling members of parliament, that don't use their first names, because in parliament, and that respect is necessary. But we thought that we shouldn't be so, make it so difficult for members that they want to call comrade speaker, that they should not be allowed to do so. That members can call comrade Hussein, comrade Rose, and then comrade Didiza. But the point that is raised there, that as long as members are respected, they feel comfortable, that we don't call them in a manner that is belittling them, disparaging them, that maybe we shouldn't go for a bigger issue there. That was the issue, Honorable Speaker, in terms of five. And the issue again that members should take care of is 59A, control of the microphones, the option that we are putting there. But the issue then is that when the presiding officer has to switch off the microphone, he will simply say that Honorable Speaker, I'm switching off your microphone, and switch off the microphone. He's not seeking a permission. He just making a member aware that I'm switching off your microphone. Because switching off the microphone is the last thing that the presiding officer could do when members are not behaving in a manner that is acceptable in a framework. 63, when I remember, I'm just raising this, was not discussion. He just yesterday also was raising the chamber and parliament had an acceptable language and gestures. I'm just raising it here, but I noticed that we agreed to have the subcommittee that is not wise for any member to use and parliamentary and unacceptable language or gestures. That I'm going to cut you off and all those. You don't think it's proper for members of parliament. That's the point, Honorable Speaker, that we're raising. Also drawing attention to honorable members to 63, the reflection upon members of the president, the minister, the deputy ministers, the issue that we are raising, that we have try again to cover that point, little bit simplify it, make it easy to be understood. What is it here that we are talking about? When you say that would be wrong for a member, and you sit there, I've gone to court, I'm acquitted. But members of parliament always hate this matter as if a member is guilty of any action. Because that is very important to move on that. Another attention is brought to 64A. And that is also an important one. Reflection upon the House and its proceedings and decisions. The point is that once the House has taken a decision, you can't get up and say that the House took a wrong decision and then shout everywhere when you're a member of the House and start reflecting on it. If you want to do that, of course, there are procedures and policies that you want to remember must follow. They can't just sit there and say, no, this House took a bad decision, I'm not happy with this decision. When a decision is taken by the House, then there will be procedures and processes how you do it if you want to move on that. 67 is an issue that we know that Honorable Senior has been raised. They have duty care rules. Our view is that they have retained it. That doesn't cause any harm. We hope they through that they are not there. And that is this American one. And the judicial system. The jury is ready. That ordinary ourselves just sit there and this is general. That's why they have duty care rule. That to protect them from being influenced by those who want to influence them. But if the judges in South Africa are well trained, whatever you say outside court doesn't matter. They will decide that only because they are well trained. The point has been raised whether I remove this now is no longer relevant in South African legal care. Our view is that there's no harm in retaining rule 67. And then honorable members will look at it. Point of order. Is an issue that has been a little bit a problem. We have tried to refine it and then tried to write it in a manner that is unambiguous. But the general point we are raising there, that the point of order is the procedural point. It's not the point when a member disagrees with me and use a point of order to make a statement. It's a procedural issue. That we should stick to that, because once we are not sticking to that, we may make it difficult for the presiding officers to take decision. And of course, there's an option there that we are raising there that we may consider. Because what also generally speaking, of course, we are not tracking the rule for the current situation. We also tracking the rule for the next 20 years. But the current situation also can't be left untouched. The point that we are is that the option there is not correct for members to raise point of order, after point of order, point of order, after point of order. The option that we are raising there in terms of rule 12, that is sub 12 of the point of order. There's an option there that says the member may not repeatedly raise point of orders with the intention of disrupting the proceeding and sitting of the House. It's an option that we are putting there that we shouldn't do that. Or even for a better accident, the absent member was accepted. On in terms of Chapter 5, those are the three issues that were raised and accepted by the subcommittee, brought accepted by the subcommittee. They may not necessarily deal with ease and wants, but generally accepted in terms of the quality, the intended purpose of the rule, the meaning of the rule, but also the relevance of the rule for the Democratic National Assembly. And then on Chapter 6, there was no bigger issue, really. There are no bigger issues, just rearrange and then improve the language, ensure that what is no longer necessary is removed, and then that we are going to reorder the numbering once the Rules Committee have accepted again bringing the honorable members to their attention to Rule 76, the casting of votes. Casting of votes. If the option actually is there, honorable speaker. But also I think an option there that we can even delete some of the issues there. There were no bigger issues in terms of that. And then there are some options in terms of the rule of declaration of votes. First, that's now. We can't have a discussion yesterday, then go to the chamber and make declaration. Declaration, by and large, they were meant for matters that were discussed at least 2 or 3 months ago. And then that you don't just go to the chamber with a long discussion in the budget vote, and this discussion took place last week. We know the position of the parties. We still go to the chamber and make some declaration. We think that's not really an efficient way of using time. Therefore, we are raising some options there in terms of the declaration of the committee report. And but the point that we want to make in option one is that is it not appropriate for us to provide for a relevant minister also to discuss it on this? When there's a declaration, because declaration sometimes about matters that are relevant to some department, and then we must consider that the minister, deputy minister, whoever is mandated by the minister, or to express the truth of that. We can then work it up on our speaker. There are some options in terms of us, recording of opposition, no issue in generally speaking. The language may be improved, but generally, no political issues. We are putting just an option there. The issue of the 4 members, at least to 10 members, does it make a difference? But the point that is raised there, those who declare, we want to declare for division at least 10 members rather than 4. And we thought that there are many parties anyway. They've got more members than 4 members they can put up. But it's an issue really that we should look at it. It's an arm issue, whether make friends or not making friends, I think colleagues should look at it. And then we are through in terms of honorable speaker, chapter 1 through 6. 7. Chapter 7, motions. On motions, Honorable Speaker, we tried our level best to deal what is the nature of the motion. What is the motion? It's defined in terms of a definition. Just to make it easy for members of Parliament when they propose some solution in the chamber, they know exactly what is the motion. And then there were no bigger issues in terms of the motions. The issue that is there, the rule, I think the rule is 97, motion without notice. impose a new rule. They called again in October 2014 already we have revised this rule. But we have revised it further. That is a motion without notice. The understanding that motions without notice were meant for congratulatory, expressing condolences, also dealing with national matters of national importance. That is, motion without notice were not used for other issues. But there, we proposed the criteria, Honorable Speaker. I draw the attention of members to the criteria of motion without notice. And that is the subsidy of two. There are about eight criteria that the Honorable Speaker will look at. The point that we are making there, that Honorable Members, they will move a motion without notice, take it to the office of the Speaker, possibly, like we do, take it there. In other areas, we remove the secretary, put the Speaker, because the person who runs the politics of the National Assembly is the Speaker. Of course, there are half there that assist in the Speaker. But at the end of the day, the Speaker that is responsible for it. The point that you are making there, that you present your motion without notice, the Speaker applied the criteria. If the motion qualifies, then the member then will be calling the House to read the motion without notice. If the motion does not qualify because of these eight criteria, then the member will be advised to say, no, the motion without notice does not qualify in terms of the criteria. Please rework it, and then you can submit it to another day. But the Speaker, in terms of the criteria, I think that is very important. But then you don't have motion without notice. That are not necessarily motion without notice. And end up fighting the whole issue, raising other issues that are not relevant on that. In the proposal that you are putting forward for consideration, of course I know that honorable members were starting to raise this issue. But another issue that was raised was that you have to do that if this motion without notice, statement, question will be at the end of the sitting. Because the arrangement and the sequence changes. The main item on the agenda or the order paper is the main matter before the assembly to discuss. If the assembly is called for a money bill, we start the money bill. We don't start with all other issues there. Start with the money bill, deal with the money bill, conclude that, and go for all other issues. Don't start with what is not really the main purpose of the convened sitting. It's an issue that was raised there. And but colleagues have had a view on this matter. They think that they like motion without notices. They want to read this motion that not even get people to reject them, but as right in terms of them to be in record. No other issue, Honorable Speaker, was really raised there that was very difficult. We put some options there, and then in terms of members of each party, and then the members of parliament, as members of parliament, as members of parliament. We have also, Honorable Speaker, then dealt with a motion without noting, a motion of no confidence. We have just accepted that one. The court has taken a decision. It's up to us to process it accordingly. That is the issue that was raised in terms of the order of the House. The point that was raised also that in terms of the rule of the rules and order would be the purview of the House. Only the House can take a decision on rules and order. But the Rules Committee, a view is to deal with guidelines, give some directives and guidelines. It's not to draw a distinction between rules and order. That is the House. Whatever we develop in terms of rules and order, take it to the House. But in terms of the guidelines, allow the senior committee in Parliament to formulate guidelines and directives. It's an issue that is there. Of course, the view, Honorable Speaker, take them to the House against it, but general relation. Another view, but the view that was expressed, we must separate the two. The rules and order, the view of the House, is the responsibility of the House, but guidelines and directives is the responsibility of the Rules Committee, because we meet, and then they can deal with some of the issues. Madam Speaker, I have an issue that in terms of the issue that I raised in terms of Hulu. In other areas, Honourable Speaker, we can see other issues that Rules Committee, some colleagues were proposing the House, but once we have discussed that, maybe we can take a final decision. On Chapter 8, Honourable Speaker, again, no bigger issue of difference amongst that is of what is the matter of urgent matter of national public importance. And that one really was just a little bit trying to be succinct, trying to explain exactly what is our understanding, and then also we are putting some criteria there. So for the Speaker, when a member of Parliament goes to the Speaker and says, Speaker, I want the sitting, I want the House to debate an urgent matter of national public importance. There are three criteria that we are putting there, A, B, and C. That is on Chapter 8. And we think that would assist the Honourable Speaker or the Honourable Speaker to look at them before she or he agrees to grant the permission for a debate on the urgent matter of national importance. There's an option that we are putting in that we may consider providing that the Speaker must convene an extraordinary sitting on a matter of national importance once per annum if the request is supported by 20% of members of the National Assembly. And this is just an option that was put by one of our members. But we thought that the sub 3 A and B assist us a lot for the Speaker to apply his or her mind before grant permission for a matter of the urgent matter of national public importance. That was an issue of the Speaker. And another issue that was raised is a question of privilege. Question of privilege, because it's a matter that has been raised from time to time. Really. We have just tried to refine it to make it much easier. What is the question of privilege of a member of the National Assembly? We have put it, make it be clear there as an option, really. That is A, B, C, D, and G, I. And then that is the issue that we are putting forward. We also work on the issue, of course, of the preparation of the Honorable Kawahama, who proposed the motion, all people came and then he changed his mind. And then the point that is 104, withdrawal of shared discussion on the matter of public importance. It's an issue there that you are saying, this should be touching the case. We shouldn't lose on that. Chapter 9, just member statements and executive statements. There are no big issues, Honorable Speaker. And then, of course, redrafted it, make it much simpler and clear. And of course, there's an option that we put there of retaining the old rule. But the member statement really that we should deal with it then. 106 is a creative statement by members. That area, General Speaker, there were no difficulties. Of course, again, members will be looking at the sub-6 and sub-7. Sub-6 and sub-7. Particularly for sub-7, it says, at the conclusion of a party responsible to responsible cabinet member or deputy minister must be given, instead of 2 minutes, we are proposing 5 minutes. If a matter is so important, don't speak time. Allow members to express themselves. And then instead of 2 minutes, the 2 minutes we are proposing, 5 minutes. Honourable Speaker, it is our view that from 1 to 9, maybe I should stop there and look at what are the issues. Because from 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, there were no major problems except the legislative process and also the public participation model. Committees, but we vote that one. But I think the bigger issue were 1 to 9. And then that is really proposed that we are putting forward the Honourable Madam Speaker. And then Honourable members, of course, will express their views on some of the options that we have put forward. But at the principal level, we thought we have covered all parties who sat in the subcommittee. Not easy, but you have mandated their party. But also they understood that we have to coexist in Parliament for the next 4 years. We have to coexist and work together in Parliament. In fact, we are reminded that anyway, there is no other forum anywhere in the country that 12 or 13 political parties have to work together every day in the National Assembly. No other forum, general, no assembly, no NGO, nothing. Only the National Assembly where 13 political parties that differ ideologically, otherwise, we have to work together daily. Therefore, coexistence is an issue that we are trying to emphasize when we're dealing with the question of the rules. That was really, Honorable Speaker, from 1 to 9. We have made this proposal for consideration by the Rules Committee. We are doing this, Honorable Speaker, to persuade the Rules Committee not to postpone any decision. That the Rules Committee take a decision. If they need language to improve, it can be improved, but after a decision has been taken by the Rules Committee. We do think, Honorable Speaker, that 3 years was sufficient time. There will be no member in his or her clear conscience who say we are not allowed to participate in the democratic process of the renewal of the rules of the National Assembly. Because we send documentation to each and every individual member and also to their parties. And we think that, Honorable Speaker, the work has been done. We are opposing all these matters, Honorable Speaker. Hopefully the Rules Committee will be agreeing that. Thank you, Honorable Madam Speaker.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mutakane. I don't want to lead members to unnecessary discussions after 3 years of discussion of rules. But we think that there are certain rules where we should clearly commit as the Rules Committee that indeed the rules, the proposals as presented are what we will now agree and take to the House for adoption. We have to take the whole rule book to the House for adoption. We just want to make sure, though, that in relation to rules relating to order in public meetings, rules 51, 52, 53, the agreement. So, if there is no proposal of any deviation from what is being presented by the subcommittee of review of rules, we shall adopt the proposal as presented. I Honorable Ndlozi, Honorable Waters, Honorable Stevenson, Honorable Boy, Honorable Chifu.
Speaker, clarity on how you are structuring the discussion. I don't want to misinterpret you, but it's not clear how you are saying we must deal with it. I'm opening an opportunity now to comment on the rule that you've just specified or on the rather proposal as presented. And I'll tell you why. It's because we have things we'd like to register that go beyond Chapter 4 and a proposal that was not integrated. It's possibly new because I don't think you've heard it and the other members of the Rules Committee. So I'm not clear how you are guiding us to proceed. I need that guidance before I speak. Okay.
I want to highlight certain rules, but I'm okay with you saying there's a rule earlier than what I'm referring to that you want to refer to, then we can go there and then come to the ones I'm highlighting. In other words, I'm okay with you indicating that I'd like to talk to an earlier rule than Rule 51. Now, I heard Honorable Ndlozi
Honorable Water.
Thank you, Speaker. Mine was also about the process and procedure. Can we not go through chapter by chapter, starting at chapter one, and then just work systematically through? Thank you.
So let's go to chapter one. Anything on chapter one? Honorable Steering.
Yeah, thank you very much, Madam Speaker. This is under Chapter 1. You know, these rules, as you hope, the Honourable Mindahan has taken us through the genesis and the procedure and the lengthy time period it's taken. I'm concerned at the threshold for amendment of rules of so just one third of the House. I think that we need to be serious about this process. We are convinced that we've gone through a thorough process and we've arrived at a set of rules that is consistent with what we want. And I don't know why we're setting the bar so low for amendments of them. I mean, surely rules are unlike a committee report. They are something which guides this House and guides the presiding officers and government members. And I'm uncomfortable with us being able to amend them at the whim of a third of the House. I think that the threshold that we should set should probably be similar to the same threshold as we set for passing legislation in the House. I think that would be, would show that we're actually serious about these rules. And we are taking them as what's going to guide us going forward.
You recommend 50 plus 1. Okay. Simple majority. Honorable Didiza. All for me. Chiefwood. Okay, you need till we get to the relevant one. So, Nixie, we've been meeting about the proposal of a simple majority for changing rules. Deputy Chief?
I think, Honorable Speaker, the one set of members in the House can change a rule. Because my take would be that the rules are not the same as passing legislation. So we might not need to add that 50 plus 1. One third is sufficient.
Honorable Singh, Honorable Kubisa, well, on this matter of the changing of rules. Honorable Singh?
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Singh. Yeah, I think there are two issues. One is the quorum in the House. What makes up the quorum in the House when that kind of decision is taken? Now, at the moment, a quorum of 134 suffices for certain matters that we have to vote on. In other instances, it's 200 plus 1 when we're looking at finance and things like that. So there are two issues that we have to set away. The quorum that's required and then the decision. Then if we agree that the quorum should be 134, then the decision should be taken by the majority of that 134. I think that's where we need a bit of separation and some clarity, if we can be taken through that aspect.
Okay. So, I think you must present the point there. Masule wants to point something out to us.
Ma'am, I just wanted to perhaps confirm what was raised by Mr. Mdakane earlier. In terms of Section 53 of the Constitution, it provides, except where the Constitution provides otherwise, a majority of the members of AA must be present before a vote may be taken on a bill, on amendment to a B, sub B. At least one third of the members must be present before a vote may be taken on any other question before the Assembly. SC, all questions before the Assembly are decided by a majority of the votes cast.
At least one third must be present before we take a decision on any other matter.
On any other matter, of course, there are areas where the special majorities are provided for, like the appointment of commissioners, and other instances. But in terms of decisions generally, this is how the Constitution.
doesn't regulate decision-making under any Section 53 of the Constitution.
So, when it comes to actually changing the rules, would we regard that as any other matter?
Indeed, ma'am. For instance, on committee reports, those would be any other matter. The rules in this instance, it would fit under sub B. But of course, legislation would require a higher level of members in the House.
The question of the members in the House before considering a matter. Secondly, is what you need in order for the change itself to be agreed. So it's two quarrels, two different issues that you have to take into consideration as you take that decision. No, then it is big.
Chairperson, I'm noting that 50 plus 1 was a proposal that was put forward by the charity. But it's 50 plus 1 of 134 members. That was first an issue that we have to clarify. It was 50 plus 1 of 134. But the point was made that now the rules are very important for Parliament. But also we raised an issue that was raised that sometimes we may consider procedural matters will keep sequences and matters of factors in terms of the rules. And that is to separate the two. But general was that 50 plus 1 of the 134 could then amend the rules accordingly. But that's the point that was there, Mr. Speaker, was the most difficult one, because the Constitution issue says other things. We thought that we should be careful not to go for a bigger issue than that.
50 plus 1 of the 134 is at the point of not addressing the change to the rule. In other words, first of all, you need a presence in the House of the civil majority, and then you come to the 134 and the issue in terms of the change of the rule. Did you speak on any? No.
I'm covered by what the deputy of the subcommittee say, but I was wondering why is Honourable Singh not having, not letting us benefit from his views or his party's views? You only ask questions, not you have views.
Speaker, since I'm prompted.
He might be prompting you for when we finish the meeting and then the two of you can have a chat. Honourable Kubica?
It's not as protect the Constitution, but I was of the view that we should attach some seriousness to the matter. And, because one would note that in the House, we usually don't have some quorum on certain matters. So, attaching seriousness on the matter of rules. But of course, the Constitution supersedes any other rule, legislation, or procedure. So, in which case, then, it would be 134, the majority of 134 would suffice.
Honourable Mulder, I'll come in.
Yes, Honourable Speaker, I understand what the Constitution says, but that doesn't mean that we are bound. We cannot have our own agreed upon majority. The fact of the matter is, if we proceed with the proposal, it means that 66 members of Parliament can change the rules of this place for 400 members. I don't think that's a good idea. There's no reason why we can't. If you want everybody to bind into the rules, which are the basic agreement between all of us agreed, why do we want to get away with 66 out of 400 to change that? And obviously people won't come to the House quickly and jump the rule on the House, but anything is possible. I think it's wrong.
Honourable Water, Honourable Ngozi.
I think he's speaking. That was my point as well. I worked out 67 members, but I'll go with Honourable Mulder, 66. When we talk about a quorum of 134, it's only for reports, which actually, it's a report. It really doesn't have any binding authority. But rules do, and so does legislation. And one would think that when you are deciding on the rules of the game in Parliament, which is very important, it's how we conduct ourselves and how we are all managed, that you would have to have a majority of MPs supporting. or being asked to vote on the particular matter. And I would strongly urge that we have a 201 quorum. Thank you.
I thought that was not the issue now, because we would have looked for the simple majority present in the House. That's the first thing we said. But now, the issue is for the actual change of the rules. Should it be as easy as what said, or should it be, and I'm hearing the last two speakers say, make it more clear to retain the simple majority at least. In fact, is there an objection to that? That's really the issue. Honourable Stenhaven?
Madam Speaker, I think we covered as well if we want to do it, because Section 57(1) of the Constitution grants Parliament power to determine and control its internal arrangements, proceedings and procedures, and B, make rules and orders concerning its business with due regard to representative participatory democracy, accountability, transparency, and public involvement. And I would suggest to you that a simple majority is within our hands to do so if we so wish, because it's an internal arrangement, and that I think it would be desirable rather than having 67 members determine the rules of Parliament.
Okay. Is there an objection to a simple majority for changing a rule? Is there an objection? Which is 50 plus 1? It's 50%, whatever it is, plus one more member. Babu Jarel.
Chair, I know that this matter really consumes much of our time. For this one, I want to make some proposal that maybe what we should try to do to separate procedural rules from the substantive rules. Because procedural rules, sometimes you go to the chamber, you want to change the order. You want to, Minister Zed was on top, you want just to change him to the last because he's not available for whatever reason. That if you are going to need 50 plus 1, 201 to do so, may be very difficult to work. But we should be able, my view is that these members can make more proposals. Maybe we can then separate just procedural matters of arranging the business. And then if I want to postpone one or two, I don't have to have 201. Because what is going to happen is that the House then won't function at all. And then I think a substantive rule that we can identify, I think that we can then use 50 plus 1, I'm very happy about that, 201 members to change. But for procedural issues of changing 1 to 2, I think we should allow flexibility on that. That would be my request, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Is there a problem with that? I understand that. Honorable Rosie, and then Honorable Zee.
Without delving much, I think we're amenable to the recent proposal that let's separate substantive rules from procedural rules, but in the main principle, a change to substantive rules must be 200 plus 1, present and vote, present and voting.
Present and voting, but for the change. That's the point at which we are now focusing. Honorable Singh?
Yeah, thank you very much. In the agreement with that, Madam Speaker, then we'll also have to look at 34A. Because they are related of the rules. No, of the rules.
Of the rules.
When it relates to quorum, where it says a majority of the members of the National Assembly must be present before a vote be taken on a bill or an amendment to a bill or a substantive amendment to a rule. We have to add it there.
Okay. That's chapter one. Anything else in chapter one? Yes, Honorable Jane
Mason? Madam Speaker, it's the suspension of rules. I just want to, it's not clear here, but I just want to know if the committee did a fly itself here or perhaps later. Because it's always been the convention that suspension of rules can't be sprung on the House. That they have to, that they can only be, a suspension of rules can only be by way of notice. So we can't come to the House on Tuesday morning and suddenly there's a move that the rules are suspended. It actually has to have been a on the order paper for that day. It's just not clear here, but I don't know if you've clarified later on in the section.
Madam Speaker, our view was that suspension of the rule is Rule 3,
sub 1 and 2. In terms of my cases, page 6, other pages, and all that. That's what you need to do. Because those are procedural matters when you suspend the rule, just to order the business. And then if you, for the people going to go for the suspended issue, how to do that. But we thought that one and sub 1 and 2 will cover the point that is raised by Honorable State. But in the decision of the House, if the House is your place, then you can add a rule. But the point that the rules, substantive rules should not be suspended without 50%, that's the point that we already taken. But all the procedural one to make facilitate the work of Parliament, not National Assembly, I'm sorry, we can then use the issue of the one third of members.
Yes.
I'm just to make sure I understand the decision. My understanding is that when we amend the rules, you then need 50% plus one. But in instances where you suspend the rules to enable you to do something else in the House, then you need a third of the members. Is that my correct understanding? Now, that suspension could also relate to substantive rules. All right. So in which case, you still need a third of members. So anything to do with suspension, you need a third. But if it has to do with amendments of the rules, then you need 50% plus one.
Yeah,
it's just I'm concerned around the issue around suspension. And again, I come back to, I think my point is this was about the notice of it. You know, what I don't want, you can't dispense with notice of the suspension of the rule. It currently be protected because the current rule environment doesn't allow you to only use Rule 97. I just want to know how that safeguard has been worked into the suspension. We all know from time to time we've got to suspend the 3-day rule, etc. There's generally a consultation amongst the chief whips. We then say, no problem, we let it go. It appears on the order paper that the chief whip moves it, and we move on from there. But what I don't want is a situation where suddenly a rule becomes inconvenient for a particular day and doesn't suit somebody, that there's suddenly a motion in the House immediately to suspend the rule. I think we need to protect the rules from abuse. And I can't see it built in there. And I think the question I'm asking is it built in later on to ensure that protection is kept.
Apparently, Rule 97 makes it a requirement that there should be notice if it's a suspended rule. So that is a general requirement in terms of 97. But in terms of also the concern about, or the confusion rather, around amendment versus suspension of rules, the way I understood the discussion now is that if it affects a substantive change, whether it's amendment or suspension, it requires 50% plus one. Any other technical change or suspension for technical reasons would be one third of them. Is that correct? Yeah.
Where do you want it to be clarified on the mechanism? Or are you covered by what Mr. Andy did?
No, I'd love to see it in writing, but I'm sure it's in writing.
He says in 97 it makes it clear because in order for you to be able to bring a suspension anyway, you have to be noted.
So that's what we can do is have a reference in 3 to Rule 97, so we could have a cross-reference there somehow.
Would that cover you, Honorable Zosie? A reference in 3 to the later rule, which does require you to say subject to Rule 97.
Yeah.
And 97 requires you to...